left off yesterday, we just barely introduced the sugya of chametz b'pesach asa b'mashehu. So even before we can get into the intricacies of that statement, chametz b'pesach asa b'mashehu, we made reference yesterday to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that the statement doesn't exist. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, there never was such a statement of Chazal. I mean, there was a statement of some Amoraim that said it, but it wasn't the final word of the Gemara, according to the view of Rabbeinu Tam. But everything we're going to be saying from here on in is going to be assuming not like Rabbeinu Tam. We're going to be following the footsteps of Rashi, and the other days in Taisus, and the Rambam, and the Ramban, and Shulchan Aruch, and everybody besides Rabbeinu Tam, who very much had the words, Chametz b'Pesach asa b'mashehu, and the question is, why should that be so? So we already began to see yesterday that there are really two different approaches as to why Chametz b'Pesach asa b'mashehu, and both of them involve, to a certain degree, the idea that chametz is stricter than other isurim in the Torah. Now, we already know chametz is stricter. We already have precedent for that by Rabbi Motze, Matikas Chametz, and Kares, Lavadil B'nei, all the things that we made quick reference to yesterday. But what exactly is it about the chametz that results in all these changes in halacha? So that was a big machlekes, and we showed machlekes Rashi and Tesis. So according to Rashi, there are really two parts of chametz, basic chasam and mashu. There's the issue of min b'mino. That's a scenario where you have a little bit of chametz thicker dough that gets mixed into kosher pesach dough. That's a min b'mino tarovus. Then you have a tarovus of min b'sheino mino. You have a breadcrumb that falls into a pot of potato soup. So those are two different shilas, says Rashi. And both of them happen to be b'mashu, but for very, very different reasons. Says Rashi, the reason why min b'mino is b'mashu is nothing unique to chametz. That's the regular din of Kol Torah Kula Min B'Mino B'Mashu, because Rashi was the Rishon, could be the only Rishon, Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Damapar, Damasar, things we spoke about in the past. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that Min B'Mino Asa B'Mashu Min HaTorah, in any case. So if a little tray for chicken soup falls into a big, big, big pot of kosher chicken soup, everything is tray from Min HaTorah. So Rashi says, when you have a Tarovus of Min B'Mino concerning Chametz, I don't need Chumer the Chametz for that. I don't need a special Chumer of Chametz. That's simple. That's the ABCs. Those are the regular din of Yerodea. The chumra of chametz, according to Rashi, is that even by min b'she'eno mino, which should have been batal b'shishim, like all other areas of halacha, that Chazal slapped us with the chumra of chametz. That Chazal said, no, even that's going to be a problem. That's chumra of chametz. So according to Rashi, the statement is, Amar Rava, hilchasa chametz b'pesach asa b'mashu, bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino. Both of those statements are true, albeit for different reasons. One is what we'd call a Kol Torah Kula did, and the other is a unique did, a unique chumra, unique prat, dafka limited to chametz. But Tosus had a different twist in the entire sugya, because Tosus said that we don't pass the Rabbi Yehuda, who passed the Rabbi Yehuda. We follow the view, Mimimimino is batal barov, bin a Torah, batal b'shishim, bin a banan. There's no such thing called Mimimino, b'mashu. Therefore, according to Tosus, how could the Gemara say chametz b'pesach asa b'mashu bein b'mino bein shalom b'mino? The answer is both of those are chumer the chametz. Not only is the shalom b'mino chumer the chametz like Rashi, but even min b'mino is mishum chumer the chametz. So at the end of the day, both Rashi and Tosus end up in the same place. That bottom line is when the person comes hysterical to the rabbi, gevalt, some of my chametz dough got into my pesach dough. Some of my breadcrumbs got into my potato soup. At the end of the day, unless you're in the world of Rabbi Natam, the Pesach is going to be the same. Awesome, and Mashu, finish, you got to throw it out. Finish, you can't eat that food on Pesach. But again, for different reasons, different nuances. According to Rashi, it's half, sometimes for Kol Torah Kula, sometimes Chumash Chametz. According to Tosfos, it's always for Chumash Chametz. But the common denominator, a little slightly different, but the common denominator between Rashi and Tosfos, is that the reason why the rules are changing to some degree for chametz is because chametz is so chomer. It's the chomer's chametz that's pushing us over the edge. Again, each one, Rashi and Tosfos, in their own way. But now, we have to look at the sugya through the eyes of the Rambam, where the conclusions are the same, but the lumdus is radically different. Everything is backwards, according to the Shittas of Rambam. So comes the Rambam in the second of the Maamar Kamos. The Rambam Hilchos Machos Asuros Perek Tesvav and Halacha Tes. So comes the Rambam and says, Chametz v'Pesach, Afa Pishu be'Yisurei Torah. Even though Chametz v'Pesach is an Issa D'Oraisa, Eino b'Chlolos Elu. It is not included in all the rules that I just said. What were the rules? I spared you the last last eight halachas of that parak, where the Rambam develops what are the klal of bittul. So the Rambam solidifies all the rules of bittul. He speaks about bittul berov and bittul b'shishim and bittul b'meya and bittul b'masayim and filu b'yalfo b'tel. Everything you ever wanted to know, he just summed up all of the seventh parak of Chulin and the fifth parak of Avodah Zarah and the first parak of Beitza, where all the rules of bittul apply. And the Rambam stuck it into all the klalos elu. And then the Rambam says, and by the way, Chametz Pesach doesn't fit any of those rules, even though it should have. It's Bisurah Torah. Why should it fundamentally be different than Nevelas, Bas Mechalav, Treifas, Orla, Truma, all the regular rules? So says the Rambam, let me explain to you why it's different. So we're expecting the Rambam to say, because Chametz, that's Chametz, Chametz, it's Chametz. We're all geared up to hear what Rashi and Tosfos told us. And says the Rambam, no. Let me explain to you why I think Chametz is different. Lefisha Eina Taroves Asuriliolam. Chametz not so bad. Chametz, it's going to be mutter in a couple of days from now. Wait a second. The Rambam's talking the opposite language. The Rambam's trying to explain to us why we're so machmer in chametz, and now he's almost like downgrading chametz and saying, if you have a piece of chametz and a piece of chazah, which is more serious, chazah is much more of a problem. Chazah is also the other one. The veil is treifas, bas mecholam. Those are things that are also forever. Chametz, what's the big deal? Shari the achra Pesach, tia kol tarovus muteres kmo shebiarnu. If the Pesach is over, Chometz is going to be mutter. Now that's a loaded, loaded statement because we know there is something called Chometz of Lo Pesach. The Rambam knew that also. So put that on hold. How does the Rambam address what happened to that Knas, the Rabban of Chometz of Pesach? That's going to be a major, major component of the sugya a little bit later on. But let's stay with the flow of the Rambam's line of reasoning that Chometz is very, very lenient. It's going to become mutter. Lefikach, says the Rambam. Therefore, Oseh B'Kolshu, Be'Mimina Ben Shlomimino. Because it's going to become mutter in a few days from now, therefore it's Asas B'Mino, Shlomimino B'Kolshu. What's the therefore? If anything is the opposite, the more lenient it is, the more lenient it should be vis-a-vis Tarovis. So here the Rambam is referencing a principle called Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin. This is a Gemara that appears in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, appears in Maseches Nedarim, Maseches Bamitzia. A principle called Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin means as follows. I have an item that's also right now. No questions. Issa Gomer de Rice, I can't eat it now. But if I wait it out a little bit, it's going to become mutter. What are some of the classic examples of Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin? One of the most famous ones is the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, where the Mishnah says a Beitzah shenol de b'yontif. If you have an egg that was laid on yontif, so you're not allowed to eat it for a variety of reasons. And then the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and what if that egg gets mixed up with a thousand other eggs, a million other eggs? You can't eat any of them until yontif is over. Beitzah shenol de b'yontif is also mechil on yontif. So the Gemara says, why not? Why can't I eat the egg? Why isn't it a bottle barov? So the Gemara says, because it's a Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin. It's going to become permissible at a later point. So Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin afilu bi elef lo batil. Why is that? What kind of svar is that? So Rashi Maseches Beitzah gives us what's the simple pshat. I say simple because if you want to jump ahead for a minute to the Ran on the ninth of the Imam Kovitz, it's 2 pages. If you have a lot of free time on Shabbos, it's a long night tonight. So if you want to sit and read this Ran of Maseches Nedarim, you'll get a different picture as to why Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin is afilu bi elef lo batil. But what it took the Ran two columns to say, it took Rashi one line to say, a different reason. Rashi says, you want to know why Dover Sheyesh Lomatirin afilu bi elef lo batil? Rashi coins the following phrase. He says, Ad she'tochlenu b'isur, tochlenu b'heter. Why should you eat the beitza on yontif, relying on bittul, which is such a shvacha b'diyevet shasar chach? It's, you're basically eating something that's asur. Be patient, savanot, wait till a few hours, yontif will be over, you'll need a heter gama. You can have your omelet tonight, heter gama. What do you have to eat a davka today on yontif when you have to rely on a shvacha bittul? So the Gemara has this principle in a few different cases. This is the most famous in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah. Let's say LeMashal, the Gemara has this example of so the Gemara tells us in Maseches Nedarim, what if you have new grain, you have chadash, you have new grain, and a little bit of that new grain, a little bit of new flour gets mixed up with the yashar, with the old flour. So the Gemara says, we can't apply the regular rules of bittul. You know why? It's hard for me to say it with a straight face. Be yisser, you know, when yashin really, really chadash, you know, mikra that applies. So achet tochlenu be yisser, tochlenu beheter. Why should you bother relying on bittul psa shvacha kula now? Wait it out a few days, a few months. Where are we holding out in the middle of cheshbon? No problem. The second day of Pesach is not that far away. Four, halavai, the weather's ready, we could use it. So in 4.5+ months, 5 months from now, it'll be ready, the day of the Korbas Omer, and all the Chadash will become Mutar. So comes the Gemara and says, when you have a Taroivis of Chadash, I feel it'll be Alflo Boto. The same idea, Achet Techler B'Yisot Techler B'Heter. That, this Svara, Achet Techler B'Yisot Techler B'Heter, is this a Din D'Araisa? So most probably not. It's been a Torah. It's bottle, finish. Come on. It's bottle. What's the problem? But the Rabbanon, they made a chumrah and said, because of this concern, not the chlev, since you have a way to avoid relying on bittol, try the chlev to avoid, wait it out. It's only a chumrah mid Rabbanon. So I'll tell you, Mike Sashrakah, in case you always want to remember that Davash Esh material is most probably only a chumrah mid Rabbanon. Happened, following shot happened in our house, in our apartment back in the days when we first got married with the Washington Heights. So we used to have now he's a very, very famous, prominent personality, but at the time he was a young teenager from Chicago. His name was Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik. Now he's a very, a prominent rabbi in Manhattan, and the Spanish Portuguese shul, oldest standing, I think, shul in America. He speaks at the presidential, conventions and all kinds of different things. Yeah, he does a lot of things. But at the time, he was 14 years old. He had just come as a little kid from Chicago. And at the time, he was 14, but he was in the shiurim for like the 25-year-old. He was an interesting personality back in those days. And he used to eat by us a lot, very often. We became very friendly with him. And he was always there for Shabbos. He used to come and eat at our house all the time. So one of the conditions was, his last name was Soloveitchik, which by definition meant that he was Machpen and Yashon. So this time of year, my wife would always be very careful, that try to make sure that everything would be up to standards in terms of Yashon. And one Friday night, she brought out the brownies for dessert. And as she put the brownies on the table, she says, she said, "I'm so sorry." She said, "The flour is Yashon flour, but I had a little bit of the chodesh, the treifas flour. I had a little bit of the non-kosher, so to speak, flour in the bin beforehand. And I emptied it out, but I didn't really clean it out. And there was a little bit left. And I just poured the Yashon flour in, and I made those brownies that. So I just want to tell you up front, there's some quote-unquote treifa flour. There's some potential chadash flour in that bin. So, you decide whether you want to eat those brownies." So at the age of 14, he didn't bat an eyelash. He said to me, he used to call me Uncle Sabo at the time. Uncle Sabo used to call me. That was his, we used to call him, but whatever. So he looks at me straight in the face, and he says to me, "Uncle Sabo, it's okay. It's all right. You know why? Because it's batel b'shishim. And don't bother me," he said, "that's a davar she'esh l'matirin, a filo v'yalef l'batel. Don't worry about that, because my grandfather told me that we only have to be machped and yashon, l'gabi derais at the gashals of yashon, but l'gabi derabon at the gashals of yashon, there's no need to be machmir. And since we all know that davar she'esh l'matirin, a filo v'yalef l'batel is only chumud derabon v'ashtos, so therefore l'gabi derabon, we have a right to be megal." And he ate the brownies. That was the psach that was delivered at the age of 14 from Beis Brisk. So there's a follow up to that story. A lot of follow-ups. You should remember those Shesh Matir Filmi Alflo Batel. You remember from the story. So the follow up to the story was, you have to move the clock forward. So let's say we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in a little while. It's okay, no one has to send us any flowers, right? So I'm just trying to date when the story happened. So this story happened. We live in Hawaii. It must have been about maybe 23 years ago, so give or take. Move the clock forward about 20 years ago. I received an alert on my phone from the Yashon emails. So they send, now that's the new way of doing, no pun intended, that's the way that anytime there's any issue related to Yashon, they send you if you subscribe. So they send you an alert with everything they want and all the updates on Yashon. Just like they used to do in Europe. They used to send Yashon updates to the Shagazari and the Grog at the Yashon updates. So the Yashon update was that certain products that had traditionally been assumed always being made with the Yashon flour, but there was a little bit of a problem that apparently that some of the again, those, the intricacies of the spring wheat and the winter wheat, the maizelach, so some of the wheat that had always been used was a little bit low on gluten, low on the protein that year, so they were starting to mix in a very, very small amount of the spring wheat, which is always much more of a problem, into the winter wheat batches. And it was affecting some of the pretzels and maybe some of the matzah. There are certain things that had traditionally always been Yashon were now potentially being affected because of the low protein content of some of the wheat. They were throwing. So, in the whole Shtickel Torah, this email, it said Everyone should consult their own Rav, what he thinks about this, because the reality is that the amount of the quote-unquote potential Chodesh wheat that's put in is a very, very small amount, and it's bottled the shisha many, many times over. But just be aware, Chodesh is a davar she'esh lebatirin, and again, maybe there's an issue or not, consult your own Rav, what he thinks about that. So all of a sudden, the wheels start to turn. Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik had told me 23 years ago that his grandfather, Aaron Soloveitchik, had said that you don't have to be chayshesh for davar she'esh lebatirins. So I was about to send back my input onto this email. Then I thought to myself, I'm basing this psak on a 14-year-old kid's recounting of what he thinks his grandfather had said. I said, I think, I better go back to some more clear sources. So I called up his cousin, Rav Shmuel Marcus. Shmuel Marcus is also another Mgol. He's a Chashva Rav in Queens, and he's one of the Rebbeim in Landers. So he's also Aaron's grandson, from his mother's, his first cousins with Meyachav Soloveitchik. So I called him up, and I said to him, I said, 20 years ago, so I spoke to your cousin about this saga. He was on top of the Yashin situation and said, how does that play out in terms of this new issue now with the pretzels, with the maizelach, with the bitl b'shishim? So he said to me that, he gave me a real marmachim. He said to me, there's a tshuva of Chaim Voloshin's son, and he said that it's not exactly clear what it says in the tshuva, and the family, they quote one way, and it's not. So I looked at the tshuva. That was the source of this whole thing. So the whole thing wasn't just based on the testimony of a 14-year-old kid, but Lemaisa, so I think it's probably still okay. But again, those who are machmer on Chodesh could probably still be making a mikra din on the Eidus, the 14-year-old Soloveitchik, in the name of his grandfather. Getting back to that story. So the bottom line is that Dov Shesh Matir Filo Be'al Flobot. That's the reality. The Dov Shesh Matir Filo Be'al Flobot. The Yifl comes around and says, the reason why Chametz is B'mashu is for this very reason. Because Chametz is a Dov Shesh Matirin, and a Filo Be'al Flobot, and therefore, Bein B'mino, Bein Shlo B'mino. So, before we can even address the intricacies of Chametz, we have a lot of trouble with this principle. Just this very principle itself, the way Rashi presents it. Again, I'm ready, jumping ahead a little bit, that we're going to see a very, very different presentation of this principle based on the Ran. But Rashi is the pashas in the sugya, that the reason why Chametz v'Pesach Asa v'Mashu is based on Dov Shesh Matirin, and Dov Shesh Matirin is based on this principle called Achet Techlen B'Issa Techlen B'Heter. Don't rely on Bittul. So I'm a little disturbed by those words. Achet Techlen B'Issa Don't you dare rely on Bittul, because Bittul is a terrible thing. It's something you should avoid. It's like the plague. Run away from Bittul. Don't rely on Bittul. Tochlena beheter. Wait till it's after the Yontif is over. Wait till after the Chodesh season is over. Wait till Pesach is over. And then you can eat a beheter. So, the reason why I'm so disturbed with that phrase is that we've been learning Chulin for the last 3 months. What's wrong with Bittul? Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the rules of Bittul? Isn't Bittul based on Achrei Ram Lahatos, Bittul Baro, Bittul B'Shishim, no Sintap? We didn't make this up. Why is that called Achet Techlenu B'Issa Techlenu B'Heter? Forget, there's a Sabbat Charonim will say, imagine the following Shaila. Somebody comes to the rabbi and they ask the rabbi, a little bit of chaza fell into my pot of potato soup. What do I do? And the rabbi says, well, we look at her, it's Bittul B'Shishim. So the guy says, you know what, rabbi? I want to be machmir. I don't want to rely on shishim. It bothers me. I want to be machmir. I'm going to throw out the potato soup. So some achronim write that's not bikursus. Yeah. What do you mean? You don't want to rely on bittul? So if it says in shulchan aruch it's mutter, it's mutter. The halacha is mutter. The same rebbeinu shalom that said that you're not allowed to eat tripha said that it's bottle b'shishim, bottle b'shishim. It's like moshlem adavadoma. Sometimes a person says that I don't believe in eruvin. I don't believe in eruvin. So that statement itself is outright bikursus. I don't believe in eruvin. Chazal wrote a Masech Teva. I don't believe in Bamitzi. I don't believe in Yom. I don't believe in Erevin. Erevin is a Masech 105 line of Shas, but you don't believe in Erevin. What you probably mean to say is, I don't want to rely on those Shitas that are make that you can build an Erevin, Tina Kigan Hills, Flatbush, whatever you think the community is. Okay, you're entitled to your own Chumras. There are different Shitas. And the reality is, every Erevin is built on certain Kulas, certain Shitas. You want to be Machmir, Tabalacha Bracha, that's fine. But to say, I don't believe in Erevin because I think that's it's not an acceptable method of Allah. That's outright happy curses. You don't believe in Erevin. So the person says, I don't believe in Bittul Barov. I don't want to rely on Bittul Barov. So Sabach Rahim, right? That's crazy. That's kfiri. You can't say that.
So we don't find cases where, if you have a thing, you know, like the Gemara talks about, you have three, you know, one is Issa and two are Mutter, you should eat all three.
That there could be, some Rishonim say there's an Issa and the Rabbanan, not eat all three because they're tied to the last three. That's already, we're going to have to.
Right, so it's the same, like inherently.
No. So that's a very, very long the Shavart, because it could be that Bittul Merov is just the nature of the Merov. Maybe you're allowed to play the odds. So if you eat all three, then the odds are against you.
Right.
So I didn't say that you have to believe in the Rush's version that Bittul Merov means that Issa Nepach Liotheter. I didn't say that. But we have to believe that it works. You have to believe that Lamai Sets Mutter. If Moshe Rabbeinu would come and sit down, he would be perfectly comfortable eating at your table if there's a little bit of chazer in your potato soup, if it's bottle. Even when it's bottle. So what does Rashi mean? The word Isser is not really true. So the Badi HaShulchan has a fascinating insight into Rashi. Badi HaShulchan suggests that if you think about it, Chazal really should have thrown out the whole dinner of Bittul. It's Minat Torah, Bittul works, Bittul Baro, Bittul Bashisha, whatever the rules of Bittul are, mid the Rabbanan, we would have expected Chazal to say, this is just a bad idea. Why? It's very simple. This leads to such a zilzul in Isurim. Chazal was so careful, they didn't want people to be mezalzul in Isurim. Let's say, Lamashal, Minat Torah, you can ask a guy to do anything you want on Shabbos. Amir Yaakov is Heta Gomer on Shabbos. Mid the Rabbanan, they asked Amir Yaakov. One of the reasons why is, it's going to lead to an unbelievable zilzul Shabbos. If I start asking Goyim, I'm going to start doing it myself. If I start relying on Bittul, what's going to happen? People are going to start to take Chazer lightly, Bas B'chov lightly. And the rabbi said it's okay. What the rabbi really says, the cheeseburgers are also okay. I mean, it's not such a far-fetched. It's a very, very slippery slope once you start to rely on Bittul. So one would have expected that there should have been a Beis Din one day that should have decided, you know what, forget, we would have nothing to learn this year. We'd have to go learn, whatever the yeshivas learn next year. Just get a jump start on Pesachim. So we would... There's nothing to learn. There's nothing to discuss. Everything should be awesome. All of your dechana, the speaker program has to be completely revamped. What do I need Bittul for? With the Rabbanu, we should have done away with all the Bittul. Why didn't Chazal do that? Why didn't they take that attitude? So the Badi HaShulchan suggests, again, we're going back to the minds of, we're trying to put ourselves back into a Beis Din HaGadol, Lishkas HaGadol, this is 3,000 years ago, and trying to figure out, should we do away with all of Hilchos Bittul or not? So some Rabbanim are screaming, yeah, do away with it, do away, it's a zilzil. And why did the other view prevail? Why Lamaisa and Chazal not do away with Bittul? The answer is, Atar Chosam and Manusha Yisrael. Otherwise, every time a little bit of Chaza falls in, everything's going to be thrown out. Every time a little bit of milk falls into your meat, you have to throw everything out. It's going to make life very, very difficult. It's very expensive. So Chazal always weighed, whenever they made Yisrum Derabanan, they have to weigh. Is it practical to make the Gezerah? Is it worth it to make the Gezerah? Is it important enough to make the Gezerah? So Chazal came to the conclusion, that's the way the halacha still stands 3,500 years later, that we're still allowed to rely on the Dinim of Bittul. But in the back of our minds, we're not so thrilled with it. Not because we're not thrilled with it mid-daraisa. Mid-daraisa, we're okay with it. Mid-daraisa, there's nothing wrong with it. Let's hit the gomor. But what we're worried about is that it creates a climate of zilzul of Yisurim, and we really should have taken that into consideration, but Hefsid moment of Klai Yisrael trumped that consideration. Comes about the Shulchan and says, that's the background where Dabashay Shematir to be also Batil. But Medvar Mamurim, that you're allowed to rely on Bittul, when the other option would be to throw the food out. If a little bit of chaza falls into your potato soup, what do you want from the guy? You have to throw it out, that's not fair. Torah chosam amishay Yisrael. So then we can rely on Bittul. But if you have an easy option out, an easy way out, don't rely on Bittul. Acha tochlenu doesn't really mean isser. And acha tochlenu in a situation that people perceive as isser. Don't eat it in a situation that has to rely on kulas if you can just wait it out, because that'll lead to a greater shmiras mitzvahs. That's going to lead to a greater appreciation. He says, Shreif. I know it's mutter. It really is mutter. It's not a mutter min a Torah, it's mutter. It should be mutter min derabanan. But if you have an option to avoid Bittul, it's better to avoid Bittul, not because objectively there's anything wrong with Bittul, but because Bittul is just not a good precedent, not a good idea, and we really should have been mevatel all the dinei Bittul if not for the fact of Torah Chasam Banish Yisrael. So when all the dust settles, this seems to be the route that the Rambam is going, that chametz v'pesach is also b'mashu, not because chametz is so chomer, not because min b'mino is b'mashu. None of those reasons that we spoke about, l'fi Rashi Tosis, the Rambam has a whole other approach. Chametz v'pesach is also b'mashu, because chametz is so lenient, and because you have that option on the table of waiting it out a few days, therefore, therefore it's also b'mashu. That's a very different approach. So when your wife comes and says, Gevalt, I dropped a little bit of breadcrumbs into my pot of potato soup, it's the third day chalamon, what do? So Rashi says, it's aser. Tosa says, it's aser. The Rabbi says, it's aser, for different reasons. Rashi says, it's aser, chumr de chametz. Tosa says, it's chumr de chametz. And you know what the Rabbi says? Kula de chametz. It's, come on, just be patient, wait a few days, and you can have it after Yom Tov Sukkot. But now we have to understand the Rambam one step further. We have to look at Halachi Yud Beis. It's part of the second of the Maamar Kamos.
even within that Davshish Matirin, let's say next year, it's even forgetting aside the fact that the mixture, like you said, the mixture itself, you know, is maybe butter, but the chametz by itself is also.
Oh, so you want to know how do you define whether it's Yeshil Matirin?
Because Lechora, at the end of the day, it's not by itself, it is also.
Okay. So that's why there are 3.5 pages in Amkermas on this sugya, and we're only up to the second half of the second mokor. Okay, so this is, I didn't say it's going to be a short, we may finish the sugya in time of Pesach, so that's the way
we're going.
According
to the Rambam, he still holds, I mean, he also believes in the Chumra, the Chumra.
Right, it's true, right? But the Rambam doesn't believe that's what ultimately prompted us to say Chumra, Asa Masha. Chumra, the Chumra means you have to do B'dikas Chumra, Chumra, the Chumra means other things, but you're right, you're 100% right. But that's not the engine that's driving the Din of B'masha. That's the Rambam. But half of what I just said is right. We're gonna see the Rambam in a minute. So comes the Rambam Halachi Yud Beis, and that makes a global statement about Dov Shesh Matirin. Because again, according to the Rambam, if Dov Shesh Matirin is the engine that's driving this whole Chometz, Chumra Kul, whatever you want to call it, so now we have to understand the intricacies of Dov Shesh Matirin. Comes the Rambam Halachi Yud Beis with the following two words introduction. Yeroeli. Now whenever the Rambam writes Yeroeli, you already know that according to the Rambam's view, it's nowhere in Shas. Nowhere in Babli, nowhere in Rishami, nowhere in Tosefta, nowhere any Sefer Chazal. The Rambam had everything in front of him, and he still writes Yeroa Li. It means the Rambam is about to mechadish something on his own. Yeroa Li. Yeroa Li, it appeared to me, says the Rambam, Shafilu Dovashesh Lamatirin. Even the Dovashesh Matirin, which is so chomer, gewalt, it's terrible. And he's not talking about chomer per se, general, the Chadosh, the other Dovashesh Matirin, whatever, Beitz, whatever it is. Im Nisare B'She'eno Mino, Falonos Adam Mutter comes around and says the entire chumra of Dov Shesh Matirin will be alfla bottle. He's not talking about chometz yet. I feel by alfla bottle. That's only true by min b'mino. It's not true by min b'she'eno mino. So the Rambam again, the Rambam looked through entire kol terakula. He didn't see any statement in Chazal either for or against, and he came up with this idea Yeroa Li that the chumra the rabban of Dov Shesh Matirin is only b'mino not b'she'eno. Why that should be so? We don't have a clue yet, but that's what the Rambam tells us. It's a fascinating comment that the Ravid has. I didn't put it on the Rambam because the Ravid has in this Rambam. The Ravid is not known for not criticizing the Rambam. And here, the Ravid criticizes the Rambam also. What does he say? Yeroa Li? What do you mean Yeroa Li? It's a Beferish Gemara. He says the Rambam is so right that why did he write Yeroa Li? So he even criticized, even when he agrees to the Rambam, he says Yeroa Li. I always find that there are two most humorous hasagas of the Ravid on the Rambam. That's one of them, where the Ravid says, you're so right, I'm going to criticize you for being super duper. You're more right than you thought you were. The other fascinating, almost humorous critique that the Ravid has in the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, the Rambam quotes a machlekes that he had with the Gaonim, exactly how to calculate the year of Shmita. So the Rambam writes, I think this is the year of Shmita, based on my calculation, based on my understanding of the Gemara, the Zohar, etc. But the Rambam writes, I can see that nobody else agrees to me. And all the Goyim disagreed, and many of the Goyim lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were going to Bavel, going to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, the Goyim lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were the ones who lived, they were the farmers. They were the ones who had Adam Asuri, Ish Pipi Ish, from the days of the Churban. They knew exactly when Shemitah was. So the Rambam writes, I'm going to concede, I'm going to tell you, don't follow me, follow the Bidnik HaGoyim, because they have a Messiah, and they have a, and the Rambam has a famous line, he says that HaMaisev, the mice of Klai Yisrael is an important factor in Psak HaLocha, that Klai Yisrael has been doing X for the last 2,000 years, so that's an important factor in Pasi and Shailas. So the Rambam, the one place that I know of in Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam quotes himself, and he really believes he's right, but he says, you can't follow what I'm saying, you have to follow what the Goyim say. On that Rambam, you know what the Ravid says? The Ravid says, no, the Rambam's right. So the one place in all of Mishnah Torah where the Rambam says, don't follow what I'm saying, the Ravid says, no, he got that one right. So anyway, very strange, interesting, fascinating discussion in Rambam's and Ravid's. But back to the story. So the Rambam says, Yeroa Li, so whether the Rambam is making it up on his own or the Ravid's claiming he has a deer from a Gemara like that, the bottom line is this rule stands true, that Dov Shesh Matirin is only true by min b'mino, not b'mishen b'mino. There's an obvious problem. The obvious problem is about chametz. The Gemara and the Rambam said that chametz is also b'mashu, even shelo b'mino. And the Rambam said the reason was because of davashesh l'matirin. So how could that be? So who asked this kasha? The Rambam asked this kasha himself. If we take a look at the end of Halachi Beis, the end of the second line, v'yal titma chametz v'pesach. He says, don't worry, don't wonder about chametz v'pesach. Why is it based on my rules that chametz v'pesach is b'mashu, even shelo b'mino? So the Rambam says something that at first glance is completely incomprehensible. Shatora omra kol machmetzas lo sochelu. Apozim chumash. Lo kol machmetzas lo sochelu. I'm talking derabbanans. The Rambam's quoting apozim chumash. Lefika hechmir bokumash biyarnu. The Rambam just fell back on chumr de chumetz. Chumr de chumetz. We thought the Rambam wasn't talking that language. So we have a lot of work to do on this Rambam. So akol panim, but we have the basic structure of the sugya. Believe it or not, we completed the structure of the sugya. We have Rashi, we have Rebbeinu Tam, we have the Baal HaTosfos, we have the Rambam, and now we got to fill in all the gaps of the sugya. Why the Rambam said what he said? How did the Rambam pull off this idea of Bibimino versus Bimshedomino? What Davashay Shematirin really is? Why nobody else said Davashay Shematirin for Chametz? That's going to lead us into a lot of discussions. So again, the basic format we have in place, Chametz basic also Bimashu, either Chumras or Kulos, Davashay Shematirin, Bibimino, etc. But again, we have a lot of work cut out for ourselves. We're starting next week to try to get into the intricacies of this.